for Gawler News, and we're out Nixon's Convention Centre, where the Jazz Festival is being launched. We're fortunate enough to have with us the Fernando Brothers. We also have, we'll say hello to them.
Hello, hello, Marilyn.
Good evening.
Avid fan.
Avid fan, yeah.
It's our only one.
Yeah. You were saying that you think it's fantastic to have a jazz festival.
Absolutely, absolutely. Gawler could really put itself on the map. It doesn't happen in South Australia often enough. As I was saying to you, they had a fantastic blues festival in the Barossa. One year, they had bands from all around the world 3 days. Didn't happen the following year, lack of funding. Very disappointing, but this is just fantastic.
And it shocks me, this is Mike, it shocks me that a state that is a festival state.
That's yes. Right.
We are the festival state of the country.
Yeah.
You can go to Mildura and see a jazz festival. You can go everywhere, but you can't go to South Australia to have a proper jazz festival.
Yeah.
You know, many acts from overseas, international acts, South Australian acts, New South Wales acts. It's just, it shocks me that we don't, it shocks me that we don't have one. You know, so it's about time that everyone supported the Gawler Jazz Festival. We made it bigger and bigger every year.
Do you know what, Marilyn? It's our second year here at the Gawler Jazz Festival, and Karen rang us up to do it again, which is fabulous for us. We've been fortunate enough. We're from London. We live in South Australia. And we're proudly South Australians, but we've travelled to so many places, and Gawler is a wonderful place to live and work. It's like being in an old country English town. It's just, you know, great vegetation, great friendly people, lots of pubs, lots of places to go.
There's lots of vegetables here. Is that what
lots
you just said?
Pubs. No, great people.
Vegetation.
Vegetation, like trees. There's nice trees, and it just feels nice. There's
something
in
an apple.
Everything. South Australian country, and it's still close enough to
Absolutely.
Have the metropolitan feel.
It's almost the gateway to the Barossa Valley. It sort of is, isn't it? It's kind of a bit further back, but it's a great place. I ride motorcycles, and I ride up here often because it's just so gorgeous riding through this area.
Yeah, just about everywhere and within a distance of the Barossa is the gateway to the Barossa.
And if you don't know your history, Gawler at one stage had a bigger population than Adelaide at one stage.
Really?
Because of all the copper mines and all that stuff that they had around the Kapunda and all those areas there. The population was here. It was huge, the population, like tent population and everything. And it was like much bigger, and then all of a sudden, of course, all that stuff died out.
And, of course, and what better combination? Fine wines, great cuisine,
and copper.
Excellent jazz.
Yeah, you know, we used to play at the Barossa Jazz. They used to have a gourmet weekend, and we used to always go out there and play, and they kind of stopped really doing a lot of entertainment. I think they had a bit of trouble with some bands, that there was fights and stuff, so they stopped doing jazz. They stopped doing rock bands, and they stopped doing everything. But it's really good that the Gawler's trying to put itself back on the map, because it is a lovely place, and to have a festival like this and bring South Australian acts up here, rather than, you know, just looking for interstate or international acts. Supporting local music is great. It's really important for this state to do it. It really is.
Yeah. And jazz eternal. Do you know what I mean? It crosses the generations.
Yeah, and a lot of people don't realise that jazz is not just straight ahead jazz.
That's right.
There's all different types of jazz. There's like the old traditional stuff. There's smooth jazz. Smooth jazz is probably the most popular.
Swing.
Smooth jazz overseas is just huge. The festivals are giant. And we don't have it in Australia yet. This is the place to do it.
Well, and as I said to you before, you go to Melbourne and you go to any small metropolitan pub there and they have a really good jazz band there.
Well, you know,
but here in South Australia, which is the cultural state...
I don't, not having a go, I don't know what happened here, but Stephen will back me up that we come from the, you know, the 5-10-piece bands, we've done a lot of different music in our life, and now interstates call us Duo City. If you've got a guy on a guitar, and there's nothing wrong with a guy on the guitar, it's fantastic, or a singer with him, that's it. Most of the venues have got duos playing, and nobody listens to them. And they're really good musos.
Yeah.
Put a drummer and a guitarist with them, electric guitarist, and all of a sudden people will start listening to them.
What I think we need to do in Adelaide as a city is kind of promote that club, more club venue. We're lucky enough to play in the UK. Every year we go to the UK for about a month, and there's plenty of jazz clubs in London. Their jazz gig guard is massive, and audiences will sit in it. It might be anything from 60 to 100 people in a club, and they all pay to get in. They don't mind spending money to see quality acts, and they sit and listen to the music. They go there for the music. And when we play in places in London, they'll do the drink services very quiet. Everyone's really listening. It's actually quite disconcerting until you get used to it.
Yeah, I remember the first year we actually went and we did quite a big club in London, and I'm saying to Steve, what's wrong? And he goes, I don't know. And we couldn't work it out. And what it was as soon as the band started playing, all of the people behind the bars stopped.
It's
they wouldn't move. No kinking of glasses, no nothing. They just shut up. And then as soon as a clap happened, you saw them all moving around.
They're really attentive. They're really great audiences. It's really nice. When you've got the quality of musicians in South Australia, and as I said before, we played in lots of places, and our quality of musicians here is fabulous. It's as good as anything you'll hear anywhere in the world, right here in South Australia.
Your backup group, where are they from?
All over. We use a number of different musicians because we play in all sorts of different places. These guys are great. We've played with all of them at different times, but there's a collection of jazz musicians that come out of the conservatorium. Yeah. That have grown up. I mean, they've all of these people, except for the drummer. He was born in the prehistoric age.
Bonnie's banging rocks and things together.
He's very old.
She's playing at the con.
Her father teaches at the con, and he's teaching her at the con now. And she's a fantastic bass player, very young, very keen, and a gorgeous person as well.
And it makes a jazz band.
It does. You have to have an upright bass.
Excellent.
To get that authentic sound. So, you know, people say, oh, can you just do it with a backing track or a piano or something like that? We say, no, well, we want to employ musicians to do the job. Because that's what the greats did. The Frank Sinatras and Dean Martins and Sammy Davis Jr. and Nat Coles, the Nat King Cole Trio, for example. They all had live musicians and they all worked. Yeah. They all kept working. So,
and that's that music thing, that instantaneous, on the spot, you know, and that's what makes every gig different.
Well, it's live.
Where if it's pre-recorded, it's the same, isn't
it? You get that live feel.
Yeah.
It's good. It's dangerous.
And each musician puts their own little twist on it. Yeah. When you play a song that's been around for probably a couple of generations, it's different. It's spontaneous.
The music today is good in its own right. The electronic stuff that's out now, it's what the kids are listening to. But the music that we sing, that we're fortunate enough to sing, is about telling stories.
Yeah.
It's not just about singing words. If you listen to the
words,
it's
got longevity, isn't it?
It really has. Those songs are all
I always say what we call Straight Ahead or the Great American Songbook.
Yeah.
It's slowly starting to turn into that, like the opera of music. So opera was pop music in its day. It was pop music. And jazz, because it's getting older and older and older, is becoming almost this, like, you've got to go and see it in like proper venues and you've got to see it in proper places because that's where you get the sounds from. Instead of the old days where they had little clubs, they still do it in little clubs, but it's now becoming like huge places are coming to see it.
Well, it's such a foundation music.
Absolutely.
Blues, jazz, all the current rock and roll, and even the bands
out
now.
Most people don't know that. It's funny that most people actually, well done you said that. Because most people don't know that. If it wasn't for jazz, there'd be no rock and roll. There'd be no R&B. There'd be no pop music.
Whilst venues like this and the Gawler Development Group, the Gawler Council, the Development Group, while they can put some money into this, and you just got to keep going. You know, you can't give up. As you said before, they run something for 1 year and they just give up.
Big sponsors.
Need sponsors. You need to keep promoting the music.
Absolutely.
There was an Adelaide Jazz Festival. The Bardacard Adelaide Jazz Festival used to be on at Glenelg and all sorts of places. It's expensive. I think one of the major problems for them is, for venues, is it's difficult for them to pay the money. In Australia, we make a lot of money. We have lots of bills, so it's hard sometimes hard for people to live here. But people expect to be paid, you know, a pretty good sum of money. In some of the smaller countries, in Sri Lanka, for example, a wage there for a receptionist is $250 a month. So it makes it kind of tough. And I know there are different economies, the way things work in the world, but for a pub to put on a band, they expect a couple of things. They expect the band to bring all the people where they need to advertise, and it's so expensive to advertise, and then you kind of almost get yourself in an accountant mentality where they've got to say, right, the band's going to cost me X, so I've got to sell so many drinks to make that, so many meals, I've got to have so many people, and it makes it more and more difficult. So what happens is, what Mike said, they drift back to having one or two people rather than having more people.
And you can't win. Adding
that
to what Steve just said, it's funny because it's about 3 or 4 weeks ago, I was at the back of my garage cleaning out all this rubbish that I collect. I'm not a hoarder, but I collect a lot of rubbish. And I found this newspaper, the news.
There's a difference.
And I flipped it over, and there was like 7 pages of it. Yeah. Were all these bands playing in all these different venues everywhere. Yeah. And there's something about advertising in the newspapers that seems to pull people better. And radio advertising, all that sorts of advertising that everyone relies on Facebook now and Twitter and stuff like that. And it's like, it's okay if you want to get 50 young guys in a room screaming their heads off doing metal, which is nothing wrong with metal, but it's not going to get people into venues unless you advertise. And I always give an example of that. It was a friend of Steve's and mine. He did a show called Cole at the Fringe 2 years ago. And he's from Bummer Lodge, and he put $50,000 up of his house, and he put it in the garden, put the job in the put his show in the garden. Banners everywhere. He spent more on advertising than anything else, and he pulled a bucket load of money out because his advertising was big, and that's what you got to do.
So
it's not about telling the friend and the friend and the friend.
Yes.
And especially Adelaide, because we love them, but we like, we go, should we go tonight? Weather's changed. Now we won't go out.
It's different. It's a different mentality. I think that it goes back to cost, doesn't it? To economy. People buying houses, they think, I've only got a certain amount of money to do this, and I've got to pay my mortgage, I've got to pay my electric bill, which is too big in South Australia. All those problems that we've got that we really need to fix. So they don't have as much disposable income to go out and do what they want to do. And I'll keep going back to the UK. In the UK, a lot of them live in rental accommodation, but they'll spend the last 10 quid to go out and see a band or have a drink at the pub. And they're happy. They'll go out to a park and they'll find things to do. But here we're kind of a bit more conservative.
Oh, except for people over 40. They still go out here.
Yeah, to get out there, because reasonably it was about $10 to get in, which is a great cost for a great night out.
Yeah, absolutely.
It's not expensive, is it, to see a band?
That's right.
Anyway, here comes the Gawler weather. We're just going to open our kites. We're about to fly off on a kite.
Help me!
Heading back to London, the guys are.
And we might go and play some music in just a couple of minutes.
Terrific. Thank you so much for talking with us.
A real pleasure, Marilyn.
Real pleasure. Thank you.
Great to have you, Goth.
Okay. I'll make sure that one came out.